It's alright, it's okay. Doesn't really matter if you're old and gray. It's alright, I say it's okay. Listen to what I say.
Hey, this is Rob Smith, Rob's Right Podcast. Well, I've heard, as you probably have too, this July the 12th, 2022, that a convenience store owner in New York City killed a man. Holy cats, he killed a man. How dare he kill a man? Well, especially when you realize that he killed a man. Horrors! It's self-defense! How did that happen? How could that possibly happen? Oh, the evils of it all. With a knife! Not a gun, but a knife. Very interesting. This guy, Jose Alba, or Joe Alba, we'll say, since we're all here today and speaking in the Queen's English. We are. I think so. Whether it be up down to Manchester or going down to Britain. But anyway, so Joe Alba got... has a convenience store. They call them bodegas on the, those of, it's a popular thing to try to alter our language to some extent. But the convenience store that Joe Alba has this lady comes in with a kid and goes to buy some chips for the kid. Well, first of all, if anything should be getting people upset is that this mother is buying her child processed food from one of these giant monopoly companies that's out to destroy us all. You think the left would get upset about that? No. The funny thing as I get into the story is the left is kind of being kind of hard to find in all this. Anyway, so the mother goes in and buys trying to buy the kid some chips. Turns out, of course, she has an EBT card and it's filled. And the mother gets angry, curses at Joe Alba, and says, so uses the N-word, saying that her N-word is going to come down and F him up because she can't buy something she doesn't have the money for. Understand, it's not just that the EBT card is filled. Apparently, she also doesn't even have the cash for these chips. Moreover, why doesn't she just have a bag of chips at home? Apparently, she lives very close by. Go get them there. But none of that, of course, there's no actual thinking or reason or cognizance of being aware of the world around them. They just wander into a convenience store, buy the most expensive way to buy a bag of chips. So you imagine it wasn't probably a big bag, it was probably a little bag, which is really, really bad involving saving money. The lady has problems with saving money, clearly. None of this is, of course, being talked about. But and worse, when she knows she doesn't have enough money, she gets mad at the convenience store guy, who, by the way, also happens to own the convenience store. She gets mad at him and sends her boyfriend down to confront him, which the boyfriend named Simon does exactly that. He confronts him. And in not a nice way. He's a really, really nasty, nasty person who has, I think, some 28 assault charges or something such as that. He's not new to this. Austin Simon's his name. They are aware of him in at the law enforcement is well aware of him. So this guy and there's a video going on. So these idiots, the mother. Who I feel bad for this child, and this Simon are not seemingly aware that there is a video camera going on, and rather clear. So the guy, the Simon, goes storms around into the booth area of where the owner of the convenience store is, and assaults him. Alba does the thing he should do, protect himself, pulls a rather large knife, heavy duty knife, and plunges it into the guy. Now, oddly enough, the mother had actually returned, and while Simon is going after Joe Alba, the woman, whose name I haven't seen here, but the child's mother, will say, apparently also has a knife and stabs Alba, which is why you see blood all over him. So there, I mean, he's getting attacked from both sides. He takes the knife and plunges it into Simon and kills him. So, what happens? Simon's dead. Alba is arrested. Put in prison, Rikers Island, of all places. He's been there. He was there for a week. They had a $250,000 bond on it. Said they reduced it to $50,000, and the apparently his family and others raised the funds to be able to get him out of Rikers. And now the real story is coming out. Because here's what really is important. And if this starts to reveal something that's known by those of us who know people and studied history, is that there's something much more going on here. Joe Alba and those of specifically the Spanish community, Spanish-speaking community in New York City, are teaming together here against Simon. Because what started to occur was an effort to say that this was a racist thing that occurred, and Simon was killed, and things started to bubble up. But what really is bubbling up is a reality that a lot of people do not want to face, specifically those people being the media, who should be more honestly reporting things. Because it became such a big issue, the news business is finding they're having to actually take some time to this because they've got a hell of a problem on their hands. That problem being that the convenience stores owners that are mostly based involving the those of Spanish heritage and Mideastern, they're all teaming together saying we need to have protection and New York City won't let us do it. And we want that. Today, just actually within the last half hour, news came out that the DA, who's in deep, deep trouble, the prediction, I heard Bill O'Reilly say yesterday, he predicts the DA involved is gone after this because of how horribly this has been handled. And his name is Bragg. I'm forgetting his first name here, but Bragg's is a goner in all this, Alvin Bragg, because of how this has been handled. And this is also having to do with that there's elections going on, and suddenly there's a big problem involving those of Spanish heritage turning on the city, the mayor's office, and so on. So there's a big problem happening here. Now, oddly enough, the mayor backed Alba. But this has caused other problems involving those in the black community who want to go against what the mayor. But this is a weird thing, because one thing I would love to have happen here is to stop talking about skin color, languages. We're people. That's what really should be done. Simon's a bad guy. I don't care if I didn't mention Simon is dark skinned. So is the girlfriend. Thus, I would guess the child is too. But there's no pictures of them that I've seen. Oh, wait a minute. I did see a picture of the girlfriend. I thought she was dark-skinned from a picture I saw, but then there's a picture of someone reaching across, and that, I'm not sure who that is, because that is lighter-skinned. I thought I saw a picture of the girlfriend being dark-skinned, but I'm not sure. All right, sorry. To edit as I speak, I just like to be accurate if I can. I really do. One thing you notice in my things here, I'm as objective as I just think it's imperative that we look at all issues from various sides. We just don't take one side. That getting into what this story is really about, and that is that there's always been an issue involving those of Spanish heritage and those of darker skin. Blacks. This has gone on for a long time. Being a Florida historian, I know that is true here in Florida. Going back 500 years when this... Page two. I got a phone call which cut me off. I'm not sure how to turn that off. I should know this stuff. Anyway, because I admit I use an iPhone for this because it has a great mic. I've got a bunch of mics, but this one works better than almost anything. Be that as it may. All right, so back page two. Here's the thing. As we know in Florida history going back, that there are issues involving those of darker skin and those of Spanish heritage. We learned that involving the Spanish conquistadors when the escaped slaves, who weren't all dark skin, make sure I make a big note of that, they weren't all dark skin, but those who were dark skinned specifically were targeted by those of Spanish heritage. Oddly enough, if you were of lighter skin, you typically were not, you're perfectly, almost perfectly fine. But those of darker skin were hated by those of Spanish heritage. They just look upon them as being dirt. And that proved itself from the 1700s up into the 1800s, when suddenly, actually, one of the reasons why the Spanish wanted to give up with the state was that more and more dark skinned people were coming in here and they couldn't handle it. But that's another story for another time, except that it just enhanced that even today we see much conflict involving here in our U.S. of those communities that are of Spanish heritage and those that are black. Now, what's really sickening to me is that this is, as I say, this country has never faced more segregation than it has right now. We're not supposed to talk about it, but all you have to do is drive anywhere around wherever it is you live, and you will find black communities, and not just those of Spanish heritage. You will find Puerto Rican communities, people who think that Puerto Rico is a continent, not a an island that with corruption all over the place. But they're so proud they're being Puerto Ricans. Oh, who cares? Anyway, you're an island, and then you speak Spanish. All right, who cares? Anyway, but they tag themselves such. Or you have a Jamaican, or you have, I mean, these little places, little dinky places that are run down, falling apart, corruption everywhere, are actually proud of this horrible, horrible, horrible heritage they have. And people get all upset about slaves. I just heard about Thomas Jefferson's home now has people say the people who run at the foundation now has people there giving tours saying what a horrible person Thomas Jefferson was for having slaves. Yet any of these people who are coming from Jamaica are coming from a heritage of the worst slavery in the entire Western Hemisphere. But and we're not supposed to talk about it. And certainly the other islands, too. And we can get into pirates, and I can talk all about how all this happened. But it's just horrendous history of all of this. But that's never talked about. Only America. So stupid. Anyway, but there's always been a battle between these two, and that's why we have these segregated areas that we find anywhere in the U.S., and certainly we see them in Florida. I find it fascinating how hard these segregation lines often are, that this line is here and you don't go here. And I know of a whole series of those throughout Florida. That's unfortunate. We're all people. We all need to live together. We all need to communicate together, which is why I push that we must speak one language. And in this case, it's English. And if we start speaking other languages, we're saying we don't like people. As I point out, those of Spanish heritage who have businesses that only put up all their signage, everything is in Spanish, is basically saying to everybody else, English, French, German, whatever you may speak, Creole, you're not wanted here. We want that kind of racist bigotry is horrendous, and there should be some effort to turn that around and really tag those people for what they are. But be that as it may, this little battle has always been here for a long time, but specifically involving those of Spanish heritage and those of darker skin. This is a problem I know all over Florida, where you will often, if you find those places of Spanish heritage, you rarely will see a dark-skinned person, and vice versa, because they don't like each other. I don't know how this is. It would almost appear this is a genetic thing, because it seems it's been going on for so long. How do people just hate people so much for so long? But it sure has a long history of it. We can actually go back into, if you will, the history of Spain and those of darker skin and how that was handled. I mean, there's a long, long time thing of this. All right. So what's happening here, oddly enough, in New York City is this actually getting a spotlight, where those of Spanish heritage are digging in and saying, we have a problem, and this problem is, and we want to have guns. As I started to say before I was cut off, as the DA in New York City made a statement that he was he met with these convenience store owners and agreed that if they wanted get a legally licensed gun to have for their protection, he was okay with that. Then an assistant DA came in and said, well, that's not what he really meant. We really don't want to see that, because more guns means it makes our communities more dangerous, which is just preposterous nonsense. Simon would still, if Alba had a gun instead of a knife, Simon would be dead either way. So you can restrict the guns, but he still would have had a knife. And believe me, those convenience store owners that like Alba, who had a knife, they're all going to have knives, and they'll have more than that hanging around. So this is I understand families typically run these convenience stores, especially in communities like that, or bodegas, as they're also referred to as. And the family often is there. So if you go after one, you're going after a whole bunch. And these kind of conflicts are not uncommon. Notice how the black fellow, Simon, just felt nothing of charging into the convenience store and confronting Alba and pushing him around. Now, Simon was a tall guy. He was 6-something, it appeared. And Alba's short, 51. He's a short guy. And it was with a big white beard. If he shaved off this beard, looked considerably younger, but he looks like he's 60. And then the guy just walked, kid Simon, I don't know how, I think he says he's 30 or something, but he just marched in there and just started pushing around. And since Simon has a long history of assault, this was not going to end well for Alba. So Alba did the right thing, protecting himself from someone who has a violent history of being a really piece of garbage. So good for Alba. And I myself believe that these convenience stores owners should be protected because they're in an area. If I didn't mention, this is in Harlem in New York City. It's not a safe area. And it's unfortunate too. Something that bothers me is that how many black communities are so rife with violence and crime. And it is true. It doesn't matter where or when. My time with the city of Orlando as a black community went west of where originally what had been congregated and reproduction causes expansion, whereas those of lighter skin tend not to have not been reproducing as quickly. Those of darker skin have been. And so anyway, that they started flooding west. Let me mention specific roads, Rio Grande Road out toward Kirkman Road. And I was really surprised at what happened because I worked on projects there at Kirkman Road where we put in these, what were supposed to be high level apartment buildings. And the idea was to feed off of this community built called Metro West. That was also to be a high end area, specifically for the, what was going to be at one time the space business. And then became the tourism business. But the idea was to get higher end people in there. That could translate to being white, but it could be any color skin. What instead happened was something really surprised me because I worked on all these projects was that the darker skinned community, which just is so sick that crime, drugs just are always a pandemic. There's a pandemic there, always part of it. Stretch across Rio Grande to Kirkman and then went south into the apartment buildings. Over the last two decades, black community equates crime and drugs. It just does. I wish that wasn't the case. That community then went across Kirkman and started going into Metro West. Now Metro West is has been having problems for quite a while, but they're getting worse and worse and worse. In fact, it now stretches across, crosses a road, All America Road into the other side of Interstate 4, and now floods that whole area. And it's leans toward black, but it also has enormous amounts of drug and crime problems and death. Famous story was a lady who was basically kidnapped and killed over there in that area here. Now that was about 20 years ago now, and that was national news. But that was showing how anyway, I could get into all the details of this community, and this is in the city of Orlando, but it's just really a terrible thing. I wish we could get the crime and drugs out. The big problem is there's such a stick-to-itiveness involving families that they don't want that to happen. For example, involving the case that the story is about, is involving this fellow Simon, in which he was finding himself now that he's dead, but there was actually an initial attempt to go against Alba and make this a racial thing. That should never have happened. Simon's a bad guy. He has a bad guy history. He has a laundry list of assault charges. He spent time in jail himself, and yet he was going to be absolved and just forgotten. He was killed by this evil convenience store owner. I mean, that was how the story started, and then has since fallen apart. That's not good. That's not how it should be. And this was coming from the darker-skinned black community. I'm not saying every single person, but as a whole, it was coming out that way. This is how we got things like the backward, horrible, racist, bigot groups like Black Lives Matter. And we see cities being burned down. This should be severely condemned, and leadership in the black community, I don't like segregation, so it should be leadership across the country should be against these kind of actions. Where the rub comes in here is that there's no stronger wall to hit than those of Spanish heritage. They're very strong. They feel very strongly emotionally about what they feel is this respect they have for their heritage and who they are, and they do not which they actually aren't, but they don't realize that. We're all people, guys. Anyway, they think there's something big about their past. So they make a big deal with their language and this heritage that doesn't really exist. And that's what New York City's run into here, is that wall where they now have a problem. And this is not just a problem inside the city, but specifically in the politics, because people are running for office. And now they're going to be asked about this. Now, the left-wing media will try to turn this a certain way, but they really can't. They can't make this an actual black issue and say, oh, this bodega owner, Joe Albo, is trying to kill black people right and left. Because now you're going to have those Spanish heritage are going to come and attack. So there's a real problem the media has. Almost certainly the media is going to drop this like a hot rock, and you're going to start seeing CNN not talk about this at all. And CNN and others, so they can get away from this issue. Because what's coming out of it is that those owners, which are not just of Spanish heritage but also Mideastern, are saying, we want guns. And we want guns to protect ourselves from the bad guys out there, because the bad guys like Simon are pandemic again throughout our area of Harlem. And they're absolutely right. They need to protect themselves. And the district attorney will probably, first of all, it's likely this district attorney will get fired for all the whole handling of this. The concern would be that the person who spoke up today, just about an hour ago now, is saying that there should be no guns. He may be moving up. We'll see. But then Eric Adams, the mayor, is saying he's in favor of, he's on Alba's side, which is a good thing. That's a smart move for Adams to make politically. And across the board, because Alba should have protection. If you see what I'm seeing starting to occur here, something that eventually we're going to hear more and more about or see it physically in our own neighborhoods, is the conflicts that occur involving those of Spanish heritage and Mideastern against those of darker skin. Because that's not a happy, those two, that if you combine those two groups and those of darker skin, there's a problem. What another problem in all this is, and this is something that's really coming out, if you look at the numbers, look at the statistics, is that those, like here in Florida, those of Spanish heritage are becoming will be eventually the majority on the peninsula within the next probably 15, 20 years. Dade County's already majority that. Broward basically is. Palm Beach is heading that way. Osceola County is already that way. We'll also see it in Orange soon. So and Seminole's heading, I mean, the whole state is heading that way, especially as we watch the baby boomer retirees die off. I mean, understand, as I always say, the villages is empty here in 15 years. So whoever's there now is dead in 15 years. There might be a handful that are still around, but not many. And that so that as those folks clear out, this will take over. And so that's what's going to happen. That's a big problem for those of blacks, because we're seeing in those statistics the population of those of Spanish heritage in the U.S. is rising far greater than those that are considered black, darker skin. That is where reality will really start to set in as we watch that shift here in the next 15, 20 years nationally. And what's going to be the result of that? Well, if history's any gauge, blacks are in deep trouble. Every claim they make is against those who are Caucasian. Well, the Caucasian population is reducing in the U.S., so they can't go to those of Spanish heritage and scream and yell about racism, because those of Spanish heritage couldn't care less. That has always been the case. That is not going to change. So the number of blacks population in the U.S. is also lower and lower in percentage as those of Spanish heritage increase. Oddly enough, those of Spanish heritage technically are Caucasian, but they do not want to be part of the Caucasian U.S. race. There is a race to this. It's just a different language. That's all, guys. And there's a tone of skin, but otherwise we're all people. Anyway, it's good. What's interesting about this Alba case is just another story, and there have been a number of them, but this is right now pretty big at this point, July 12th, 2022, showing there's a big thing that's coming here in the U.S. And because we don't teach history, and we don't respect history, we don't actually respect our past. Oddly enough, those of Spanish heritage claim to, but they don't really know their past, because if they did, they'd be pretty ashamed. There's nothing you can look back and say, wow, we did a lot here. No, that just isn't the case. So it's mis, misdirected emotions, which are always dangerous. But be that as it may, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here in the U.S. in the next, I don't know if I doubt I'll be around to see what occurs here, but what happens here come 2035, 2040. 2040 is going to be very interesting in the U.S. And almost certainly we're going to lose what we call representative government democracy. Those moving in have a whole different mindset. They believe that they don't believe in representative government. They believe there's a leader. And we see that as what we call, this is also this misdirection in saying that there's blue states and red states. That's all such garbage. But what we're really missing is that those who are voting, who are repopulating, if you want to say it that way, but are populating this country, the majority who are immigrants, and there's a lot of them, are not interested in representative government. They're not interested in democracy. They want a leader. They're used to that. That is their culture. That is their heritage. And that's what we're finding in Dade County. We're seeing that come up more in Broward County here in Florida. And we're seeing that in other parts of the country. Look at California. They want a leader, and they don't want all these other things in between. That is sad. That is not a good sign for the history, what's coming for the U.S. But I don't see how that doesn't happen now. I just don't see how that happens. That's my view. I know it may sound pessimistic, but I don't think you, objectively, I don't think you can dismiss the direction this country's heading into. I know the Constitution's nice and all. I'd love us to keep it. But I don't think it's going to maintain itself over the course of time here as the population shifts from a representative government to more of a, it's more authoritarian. Look at that. Everybody loves that. Everybody's all sad that the authoritarian issue of how Roe v. Wade went through. They want the authoritarian thing to come back. They want that authority. They don't want it to go to the states. They want it to be done by the federal government. That's bad, bad, bad. But that's where the country's going. I hope this all makes a lot of sense. Let me know what you think. Give me some thoughts. You can send me a message through Rob Smith Jr. on Twitter. I'm on all the Gab, Getter, all those. Rob Smith Jr. I have a little kitty with a fedora. And then also Rob Smith Jr. cartoons and commentary. Political cartoons and commentary. I haven't done a political cartoon. Well, actually, I'm working on one right now involving a local issue in Central Florida, but it won't mean anything to anybody. I, since I'm not being paid for them, I admit I'm not. It's not money only. I just also I need to keep working to bring money in to pay my bills. Otherwise, I would do political cartoons all the time, and I'd love to. But I really just, and also, where are they going? Anyway, all right, I'll stop here. Thank you so much for listening, being a part of things, and I will talk to y'all later. This is probably the longest one I've ever done, especially considering I'm putting it, the first time I've ever put an ad in the center. Thank you. If you've gotten this far, thank you so much for listening. Thank you very much, and thank you for being a part of things. All right, well, I will talk to y'all later. This is Rob Smith, Rob's Right Podcast.
It's alright, it's okay. Doesn't really matter if you're old and gray. It's alright, I say it's okay. Listen to what I say.